children. What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Good evening and welcome back to Family Matters, MASC's weekly radio show. MASC, Mothers and Fathers Aligned, Saving Kids. Kids all ages, all stages, all mental health issues, including prevention, including intervention, and addictions. We are going to be speaking tonight about alcohol and alcoholism. And why we are going to be talking about it is simply because we are coming up to Rosh Hashanah, Sukkot, and there are so many meals with so many times that we make Kiddush, and we want to prevent people that are maybe in recovery, maybe people that have an alcohol issue. We want to prevent the uncomfortableness around the alcohol, and we have with us tonight Lou Abrams. Welcome, Lou. You've been on our show before. Hi. I want to thank you for always being available.
My pleasure, and thank you for having me.
Thank you. And Lou, I want to give out MASC's number, 718-758-0400. It's a confidential helpline for families that need referral, support group, inpatient, outpatient rehabs. Call us. Jot down our number. You can call anonymously from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Again, write down our number, maybe to be yourself, your neighbor, a loved one, maybe someone you sit next to in shul. Our number is confidential, 718-758-0400. Lou, let's get right to it. Yom Tov is coming. We make Kiddush so many times, Rosh Hashanah, Sukkot, Earth Days, Last Days, Simchas Torah, the drinking. There's so much drinking alcohol for some, and then for others, they really cannot have the alcohol. So can we talk about this general terms about what is alcoholism, and can you give us some signs and symptoms of those that struggle with it and what we need to be concerned about and respectful about this time of year, especially with so many times making Kiddush?
Sure. I want to first say to everybody, Kesiva Bakasima Tova, and a sweet, healthy, productive new year for all families, all adults, all children, all teenagers. And there is challenge in this time of year because of the amount of alcohol that is accessible. And we can talk more about that, I guess, after we speak about some of the general basic themes of alcoholism. And to first say that everybody that drinks alcohol is not a problem drinker, does not have an alcoholic pattern of drinking. But some people develop a problem with alcohol, and I'll explain what that is. And often in the Jewish community, that can start. It can start in very early times that are related to Jewish holidays, that are related to traditional ritualistic holidays where there is alcohol, and alcohol goes from being this holy substance, this substance involved in Kodesh and Brachot, to being something that can be devastating. In my experience treating adults and teenagers alike and everybody in between, often people that have problems, that have come to a point where they have a problem with alcohol, are able to trace back that my beginning, my initiation, my first introduction to drinking happened around the Jewish holiday. And Jewish holidays like Purim and Simchas Torah and even the four cups of wine at a Pesach Seder can be for some children, teenagers, young adults, can be the initial experience that really leads to other experiences that begin the progression. Alcoholism as a disease, and sometimes people get very uptight about hearing this is a disease, this is an illness, because they assume that because it's a disease or an illness, the person with the problem is off the hook and really is being excused, and this kind of a justification for the behavior that ensues when somebody has a problem with alcohol. Nothing could be further from the truth. Alcoholism is a disease, and people who actually contract alcoholism are responsible and accountable for their behavior. So it's not an excuse. It is something that happens when people have the right ingredients and the right situations that will create drinking, and some of it is biological. In certain cases, there's a tremendous overt history from generation to generation of people that have had problems with alcohol, and there is a genetic predisposition. In other cases, we find that people have problems with alcohol, there's no biology. Some of it is psychological. Some of it has to do with difficulties that people have, and they gravitate to alcohol and some other substances as well, sometimes because they medicate themselves to calm down, to soothe themselves, to deal with things like anxiety and other issues, and the alcohol drinking takes on a life of its own. The progression is interesting because in the beginning, for many people, most people actually, in the early stages of alcoholism, it's very difficult to tell who has the problem and who doesn't have the problem. People look very similar. And only if you really look for subtle signs of a problem do you start to see patterns of drinking that are not social, that are not without some kind of consequence. In the middle stages of alcoholism, it becomes more overt. It becomes more observable, more noticeable. There's more concrete, tangible consequence to the drinking. And in the late stages, it's fairly simple to see somebody who has a problem because the loss, the overt consequence is so observable that a little child can tell somebody. They may not be able to intellectually speak about what the alcoholism is, but they can see there's something wrong with this person because of their drinking, and when they get to drink and they have behavioral changes and they just act differently. That's late stage. If we waited until the late stages to treat alcoholism, there'd be a lot more people that have died because of this illness. So we try to intervene as early as possible. And some of the Jewish holidays really, and not just holidays, but simchas, that weddings and bar mitzvahs and shalom zachers and all sorts of very healthy, fun, religious occasions can become gateways for people to develop problems if they don't have certain and certain expectations and certain rules in terms of the drinking, particularly with younger people who, you know, have a susceptibility, are vulnerable to being affected by the alcohol, and it really affecting and impairing their judgment, which is probably the first thing that starts to be affected is judgment and decision-making. And so this is why a holiday like Simchas Torah is very, very crucial because of the accessibility and the prevalence of having alcohol around. This is very, very important.
You know, you bring up Simchas Torah. We had it a family many years ago. And I've been doing this for 21 years. Over 48,000 families reached out to Mask. And I remember one family that came to me many years ago that said that their son, who was 11, was addicted to alcohol. And I said, how did that ever begin? And she said, well, we only serve water in the house during the week to drink. On Shabbos, we offer soda. But on the door of the refrigerator is always the leftover wine from Shabbos. And my husband likes the sweet wine. And we thought that, you know, someone else in the house was drinking the wine, but every week there was wine missing from the bottle. We could never understand it. We thought maybe some help in the house. I thought maybe it was my husband just having a drink with dinner. It never occurred to me until one day my son couldn't wake up. He was on the floor. And we couldn't understand what happened. And it ended up that he shared that he was drinking the alcohol on the open bottle on the fridge door. And there were several on the fridge door. So this young man needed to get into treatment because he really developed an alcohol problem. So we really need to focus also at the unattended alcohol in our homes, and that around the Yuntif holiday time, there is so much available in one's home that we need to take into consideration that we never know in whose hands that alcohol can get into. So to everyone out here, all our listeners, please, let's watch the alcohol. Lock it up. Make sure that it is not available to everyone, your guests, in your house, in your fridge. Make sure it is always that you know where it is and that it's locked up properly. Lou, can we discuss, you talk about not waiting to hit rock bottom. We talk about alcoholism in general. Let's talk about relapse, being that there are many people in recovery, there are many people going to 12-step meetings, there are organizations helping our young adults today. A shout out to The Living Room, Menachem Pisnansky, SAFE has 12-step program, LSA has programs. There are so many 12-step programs going on in communities everywhere. Can we talk about relapse around young
people? Yes, sure. Yeah, I mean, I think relapse implies that there is some kind of recovery. And there's a difference between recovery and being abstinent. Being abstinent from a substance like alcohol means just not using it, not letting it get into one's body, which is a very physical, concrete, purely related to the ingestion of alcohol. Recovery is a phenomenon that, again, is a process of learning about alcoholism, learning about what happens to somebody when they drink, somebody who is willing to receive education and actually be educated about the relationship with alcohol, because sometimes the person who develops the problem is the last to know. We see that people that develop problems with alcohol often are initially in denial and protect their right to drink and are very, very defensive about looking at their drinking. But after somebody suffers a certain amount of loss, and, you know, we can talk about what are some of the strategies to not enable that process, but to help it happen, a person may have the good fortune to start to look face to face in the mirror and see, I do have a problem with alcohol. And what behooves parents, what behooves loved ones, is to learn themselves about alcoholism, even before, if it's necessary, before the person with the problem starts to learn about this, because that can really help. That can initiate the alcohol problem drinker to get help himself or herself. When somebody starts to get help, they realize, and I come from a school that really speaks about abstinence and stopping drinking, not learning how to drink more appropriately or learning how to drink without having problems. Once somebody crosses over a line, really the name of the game is to stop drinking and to stay stopped. And so education and sometimes therapy are very, very important. And then somebody is introduced to recovery. Recovery is a process of growing, not just in terms of not drinking, but looking at how I feel about myself, looking at my self-esteem, looking at my behaviors and relationships with other people, and actually doing things that really enhance my feelings about myself and my ability to do satisfying, healthy behaviors in the world that I live in as it relates to myself and my loved ones, as it relates to my job or my school, as it relates to my peer group, all the different areas, as it relates to my body, taking care of how I eat, how I exercise, how I get all sorts of behavioral health, emotional health, and probably as important, if not more important than any, my spiritual religious health. Very, very important in recovery. What happens to me in terms of not just stopping drinking, but growing? There is the phenomenon, unfortunately, of relapse. There are people that start off doing well and sometimes do well for quite a while, and because they stop doing what's working, which can be, you know, a combination of things, but certainly they stop remembering where they came from. They stop remembering that I do have a problem and I need to continue to work on changing people, places, things, and creating a modified, if not a new lifestyle for myself. If I stop doing some of those behaviors, I start to sometimes forget what this alcohol has done to me, and there are occasions where somebody will return to the drink. And sometimes it's in a very controlled way, and they'll start to drink again, but it's a little bit different initially, and they start to deceive themselves into thinking it's not necessarily a problem anymore. I fixed it. I'm now drinking differently. And unfortunately, if they truly do have a problem and they continue drinking, the chances of them reverting back and starting to get back and recreate some of the old behaviors related to the drinking, it's almost inevitable. There are exceptional situations, and everybody wants to be the exception, but the vast, vast majority of people that I've seen that really did have a problem and came to terms at some point with the problem and their family members started to recognize this is a problem, those people that have stopped drinking and then started to drink again, they go back to the same problems. The solution, obviously, is to get back into the healthy lifestyle and to, again, surrender and to own this is a problem, and I need to take certain steps to make sure that I don't drink and that I continue to grow, both spiritually, including physically and emotionally, psychologically. I continue to move in a direction of growth. And that's what generally happens to the people that are fortunate enough to get back into recovery after they do have a relapse.
You know, Lou, there were many people that drink, you know, every night with dinner, a cup of wine. There are many people mm-hmm. that drink all weekend when they're not working. There are many people that never drink. Mm-hmm. But the question really is about the family members, right? Mm-hmm. Can alcoholism be inherited if they have that gene? You know, where do those struggles come in?
Yeah, and those are very important, and it really depends, because there's no cookie cutter to who has a problem and who doesn't. I'll first address what you mentioned, the scenario for somebody who drinks every night, has a glass of wine every night. That by no means means that the person has a problem with alcohol. There are people that drink regularly and do not have problems with alcohol, and I'll say the converse. There are people that drink sporadically, episodically, once in a while, and they have tremendous problems with alcohol. So the frequency that somebody drinks in and of itself is not enough to tell whether somebody has a problem. The type of alcohol is also not enough to tell whether somebody has a problem. There are people that have tremendous problems and they drink beer. There are people that have tremendous problems and they drink wine. There are people that have no problems at all and they do have a shot of hard liquor. And listen to the words we use. You know, the culture uses words like hard liquor. So a lot of the misconceptions about drinking come from the language that we use and the fact that there is certain myths and misconceptions, you know, classic one being that you can only have a problem if you drink quote unquote hard liquor. Nothing could be further from the truth. The answer, the reality, the real determinant of whether somebody has a problem or not is whether they suffer consequences when they drink. And as I said, before with the stages of alcoholism, it's tough to see the consequences in the early stages because they haven't necessarily come out. They have not become evident. They're not observable. And again, in the middle stages, they become more observable, and in the end stages, they're very, very overt and observable. In terms of the family members, they are often in a position, and it's not just family members. It can be rebbeim, it can be friends, peers, regardless of how old somebody is. The people, we call them, is a very catch-all phrase. We call them significant others. The people that are around the person with the drinking problem often are people that can see that there's a problem before the person himself or herself sees the drinking problem. And so these are people that are in a position to learn more about alcoholism, learn what it's doing to them as significant others, as family members, because we believe to our heart of hearts that family members that interact with, that live with, that have a relationship with, that come in contact with a person with a drinking problem are often more and more increasingly progressively affected by that person's drinking. And the closer you are to somebody who has a drinking problem, the more chance there is, the more risk there is that you really do suffer yourself and have effects, emotional effects that can manifest in behavioral changes, that can manifest in esteem and psychological changes, that can really get involved in a person's own existence so that even though they're not drinking, they're involved with, they love, they care for a person with an alcohol problem, there is an effect on that family member. I wanted to say one other thing about Simchas Torah. I hope it's okay to get back to some of the business at hand and what's coming up. It's a great thing to talk about Simchas Torah prior to it coming up, and I have tremendous respect for the education that's out in the Jewish community in general in terms of before a holiday, there is more and more discussion and education. This discussion needs to, even if it's just starting at Simchas Torah and it's never been discussed before by parents and children or adolescents and parents or rebbeim and talmidim, it needs to really be built into our culture. We need to build education and preventative measures into our culture and our hashkafa of how we raise children, how we deal with children in the chinuch system, how we educate children in an age-appropriate way, and certainly teenagers, and so that we're not just reacting to a holiday where there is a propensity for consequences and unruly, unhealthy drinking and inappropriate drinking that can cause tremendous, tremendous tragedy, which we've seen many times, unfortunately, in the Jewish community, but that we have a way of educating that's not only reactive to holidays and to simchas, but that is built in, and that we teach kids, and there's no better time to do that than on Shabbos. You know, whether you're a family that when kids become teenagers, you remove the alcohol completely and you make kiddush on grape juice, or whether you talk about and you continue to role model healthy drinking by adults and using alcohol for kiddush, I can make an argument that both of those are healthy ways to go. The key variable is the talk, is the discussion, so that kids get a chance to interact and hear why the alcohol is dangerous, especially when you're younger and your judgment is not at a level where, and your body, your physicality is not at a level where it's appropriate to drink, or when it's removed and we just don't have it. If you remove it and you don't talk about it, you're missing a tremendous opportunity. There needs to be education, and the education comes in the form of shared communication and rules and boundaries and guidelines that are really inherent in being a healthy parent. That some of this is not up for negotiation, some of it is just a rule, but it needs to be talked about. It can be talked about without being negotiated necessarily.
Lou?
Yeah.
I think that we must stress that childhood trauma, a lack of supportive, whether a stable home environment or other things, that happen in a young person's life can contribute to the onset of alcohol abuse or alcohol-related problems, drug abuse. I do want people to realize that it's not just the casual drinking we're speaking about, but we're also talking about the self-medication, which young adults are using alcohol and drugs for. We're running out of time. I very much want to wish all our listeners a ksiva v'chasima tova. I want to thank you, Lou, for always being available to the Klal, to Mask and its staff. I want to wish you and your family also a ksiva v'chasima tova. All good things for all my listeners, Klal Yisrael. I want to wish everybody that we should not have these problems, but if you do have somebody at your table that is struggling, try and care, be respectful of it, try and offer them alcohol-free beverages. Thank you, Lou, again. I want to wish everyone a wonderful evening and a beautiful Shabbos and a very happy and healthy New Year. Emotionally, mentally, and physically. And Mask's number is 718-758-0400. Please donate online to maskparents.org. Thank you, and have a good night and a good Shabbos. Thank you.
Doina Limited, importers of the finest kosher wines, brandies, and cognac from Israel and around the world, wants to make your Rosh Hashanah and Yom Tov a real celebration. We'll come to your shul or organization for a free wine tasting simcha. You get to experience Evan Zahav premium wines, Pesara di Piatra, Wild Goat, as well as our award-winning cognacs from France. Do Cognac XO, Marquis de Brim Cognac XO Decanter, Du Privilege, and our outstanding Pesara di Piatra brandy, all certified kosher to the highest standards. So let's start celebrating with premium kosher wines from Doina Limited. For more information, please contact 908-474-0400. That's 908-474-0400. This new year in Yom Tov, let the simcha begin.
Ace has always been the helpful place, and we're about to get even more helpful by offering instant savings to Ace Rewards members. Not a member? Just sign up when you get here to start saving right at the register.
How many corners does a kosher sukkah need? The answer? Just one. Corner Hardware. Sure, a kosher sukkah needs four corners, but to build one, you just need Corner Hardware. Because if you need it for your sukkah, we've got it in our store. Super savings. 6-foot folding table, only $29.99. Folding chair, $11.99 each. The savings go on and on at Ace Corner Hardware and Paint. 2266 Nostrand Avenue, between Avenues H and I and Brooklyn Parking, is available. Call 718-927-4300. Corner Hardware. They've cornered the market.
Ace, the helpful place.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
See store for details. Must be an Ace Rewards member to receive instant savings. Available through the end of the month.
KCN, Talk Line Communications Network Radio, America's number one Jewish program.
Did you ever consider being on the radio or hosting your own radio show? Now TalkLine is giving you the opportunity to produce your own daily or weekly radio program. Primetime airtime is available at very affordable and competitive rates. We're looking for independently produced or organizational programs of interest to the Jewish community in the areas of Judaica or Jewish interest, music, news, talk, legal, medical, or financial. Introductory charter rates are also available for advertisers. For more information, contact the TalkLine Broadcasting Corporation at 212-769-1925. Again, that number, 212-769-1925.